Is the kingdom of the cults about to lose a member? We'll survey the latest dramatic changes inside the Worldwide Church of God next on Truths That Transform. This is Truths That Transform, the daily radio ministry of Coral Ridge Ministries and Dr. D. James Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy's ministry is dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping Christians to apply the teachings of Scripture to every area of life. Stay tuned for insights on Christian discipleship in the 1990s and beyond. When is a pseudo-Christian cult no longer a cult? That is a question which cult researchers are having to scrutinize very closely today in relation to the Worldwide Church of God, publishers of the Plain Truth magazine, and producers of the television broadcast The World Tomorrow. Since the death of founder Herbert W. Armstrong in the mid-1980s, the group has been going through a series of radical changes, but none has been more monumental than those being discussed in the past few months.
Reports from sources both inside and outside of the organization are hinting that the Worldwide Church of God is poised to officially accept an orthodox doctrine of the triune nature of God. This change, if accepted, would be one more huge step out from the world of the cults and into orthodox Christianity. Joining us to talk about these recent changes and possible changes is Philip Arne of the counter-cult ministry Watchman Fellowship. Philip, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Although many of our listeners may be familiar with their magazine, The Plain Truth, or their television program, The World Tomorrow, they may not know much about the church itself. So perhaps you could give us just a brief sketch of the history of the Worldwide Church of God.
The Worldwide Church of God was founded under the name of Radio Church of God in 1934 by Herbert W. Armstrong. In 1947, Mr. Armstrong moved the operation from Oregon to California. He established a Bible training college called Ambassador College in Pasadena. In 1968, he then changed the name to Worldwide Church of God. By the 60s and early 70s, the membership had grown from an original, I believe, 16 members to somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 members. And today, the membership is about just under 100,000. It's 99,000.
What are some of the unique characteristics that have been a part of the Worldwide Church of God and which have historically made it something other than another Christian denomination?
The doctrinal differences that have separated the Worldwide Church of God from Orthodox biblical Christianity. One, the nature of God. They taught that for years and years, and up until just very recently, that there was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the Father and Son were personal, and they don't like to use that term, but we'll use it for the moment, personal beings, whereas the Holy Spirit was an impersonal force. Basically the same doctrine held by other groups, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Also, they held that salvation was by grace, but there were conditions. That the conditions were that you were to keep the law, you had to keep the Sabbath and the other laws, and basically anything that Herbert Armstrong declared to be law or part of the legal system, you were required to keep that in order to keep your salvation. Because under their teaching of salvation, you were only a spiritual embryo up until the time of the resurrection. So you could be aborted, as Herbert put it, at any time during your Christian walk if you transgressed the law.
Historically, the church has strongly claimed that there was a large, satanically inspired counterfeit church, and that the Worldwide Church of God was the only true church. Have there been any changes of late on that claim?
That's a subject that's still not clear. Let me read, if I might, a statement by the former public affairs officer, assistant public affairs officer, Mr. Mike Snyder. In a letter he sent to Watchman Fellowship dated March 9th, 1992, concerning this concept of the one true church. Mike, or Mr. Snyder, stated that the church's position is that it is not the exclusive body of knowledge. The church does not teach that God can work only with those of the membership of the worldwide Church of God. Yet in a sermon given by the Pastor General, Mr. Tkach Sr., April 3rd of this year, 1993, Mr. Tkach stated, "Now I hear the rumor going around that I don't believe this is the only true Church of God. You are my witnesses. I believe with all of my heart that this is the only one and true Church of God." So we have a conflict of what the church is telling us and what it's telling its own members. Throughout its history, Herbert W. Armstrong taught that Jesus Christ had restored the truths of the Bible that had been lost for almost 2,000 years through him and through the worldwide Church of God, that they were God's true and only church upon the face of the earth, that if you were outside of that organization in another church, then you were in basically one of the Babylonian churches, a false church.
Well, as you've just pointed out, and it's good to go over this before we get into some of the alleged changes that are happening at this time, there has been a lot of confusion surrounding supposed changes in the group's doctrines in the past. How do you sift through statements like those you've just repeated, such as Michael Snyder's saying to you, "No, we don't claim to be the only true church," and then the pastor general saying to his own people, "We are the true church"? What is the thinking of Watchman Fellowship and other groups as to the reality of the changes being reported at this time?
We have done extensive research, extensive interviews, talked to a lot of members and former members, and we are convinced that there are true and genuine changes that have taken place in the church, in the doctrines. In our opinion, the leadership is caught between a rock and a hard place. Many of their top ministers are attending Bible schools outside of the church and are being exposed to Orthodox theology. They are bringing these doctrines, these new doctrinal understandings, back into the church and actually changing church doctrine, the doctrine of who God is, the doctrine of born again. These have all been changed to conform more with Orthodox Christian thinking. So there are real changes taking place, and we applaud that. And we have personally conveyed to the leadership at headquarters that that we applaud them for their research and their understanding. But at the same time, to make such a drastic change, they are concerned that they're going to lose a lot of members, because these are 180 degrees opposite of what they have always taught. So they are actually telling the members that they are not making any changes whatsoever, but they're just explaining the old doctrines in a different way. So we're watching the situation, trying to get as much information as we can so that we can accurately report what the changes are that are genuine changes.
Now, when we talk about changes, undoubtedly, the most monumental change that may be coming, or which has come, it's hard to determine which at this point, is the one that your ministry published in a recent issue of its magazine, saying that the church was just about ready to alter its teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit and therefore accept an Orthodox view of the Trinity. Perhaps you can give us a little background on that story.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, the church had always taught that there was the Father and the Son and then an impersonal force called the Holy Spirit, and that at the resurrection that believers would actually join the God family and become God themselves. Now, most members did not actually believe that they would become God as God is God. But in the writings, it was perceived by organizations such as ours and others through the years that this was what the church was teaching. The new scholarship that's coming into the church, into the leadership, is moving towards, and really is indistinguishable from the Trinity. Trinitarian view of God. In the recent, what they call Pastor General Reports, which is comes from headquarters to the field ministry, there are three teachings that have gone out to the field ministers. The first teaching told the field ministers that their original perception of God was incorrect, especially dealing with the God family. The second teaching centered upon the actual nature of God, and in that they stated that God is one, and yet there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And talking about the Holy Spirit, they said that the Holy Spirit is divine. The Holy Spirit is divinity. And when you say that, you paint yourself into a corner. There's no way that saying that the Holy Spirit is deity without saying at the same time that the Holy Spirit is everything that the Father is and everything that the Son is. So they have accepted the Trinity doctrine, even though for the sake of their membership, they will not actually use the term Trinity. So it's a major doctrinal shift.
Well, what is your assessment of this? If they're going to stay away from using the term Trinity, that's going to leave a division between them and Orthodox Christians.
I think, at least for our organization, we understand the position that the church is in. We really don't have a problem if they don't use the term Trinity as long as they teach the Trinity. They have a problem with their membership perceiving that they have accepted a doctrine that historically they had taught was pagan. The membership had been taught for 59 years that the Trinity was a pagan doctrine, and now all of a sudden the church is teaching that. So they're having to use a different language with the membership than they are with the Orthodox Christian community. And we can understand their position. Like the church leadership, we do not, at Watchman Fellowship, want to see the members leave the Worldwide Church of God and go into a more abusive organization.
All right, Philip, we're going to take a short break right here, and when we continue, I'd like for you to tell us about how these apparent changes are being received by the other leaders in their church. We'll be right back. Philip Arne of the counter-cult ministry Watchman Fellowship is our guest, and he is bringing us up to date on some remarkable potential changes in what has been known as a cult, the Worldwide Church of God. Philip, just before the break, you explained the organization's apparent move to accept an Orthodox view of the Trinity. Do you have any indications how this change and other recent changes are being received by pastors and members out in the field?
Yes, we have word through more than one source that there is actually a revolt among field ministers of the Worldwide Church of God, that a certain percentage of them have refused to receive and refused to teach the doctrines that have been coming forth in the past, say, since 88 or 89. Of course, this presents a problem if the ministers, if a portion of the ministers aren't teaching the new doctrines to their members, then there's a tremendous amount of confusion among a large number of the membership of the church. They're hearing, they're seeing in their church newspaper, comes out every 2 weeks, that the pastor general is teaching new doctrines. But at the same time, their ministers are telling them there are no changes. And even leadership out of headquarters is saying, no, there are no changes, we're just explaining it differently. So there's a tremendous amount of confusion, and we're getting this confusion in letters and phone calls from members from all over the country and from around the world, Australia and other parts of the world. So it's a time of very much confusion among the membership.
It is widely known among those who have investigated the Worldwide Church of God that historically they have had a way of telling counter-cult ministries one thing and telling their members just the opposite. But you actually believe at this time that there is a difference between that historical trend and what's really happening today.
Yes, I believe that they really are genuinely changing their doctrinal position. In the beginning, we did not believe that, because what we were receiving from members in the church, let's say as of 1988 and 1989, was that they had not heard of any doctrines. What we were publishing in our monthly news magazine about the changes that we're being told about by Mr. Snyder and others at headquarters, they weren't hearing in their own churches, and they were writing us for clarification, where they wanted to know specifically what we had been told by headquarters. But over the past several years, we've been able to affirm that the doctrinal changes are getting out to the people in the pews, but at the same time, the leadership and the ministers are telling the people these are not real doctrinal changes. We're just explaining them in a more biblically sound, scholarly manner. So you have real changes that are taking place in the field, but at the same time, you have a lot of confusion on our part and on the part of the membership because of some of the statements coming out of the leadership of the church that these changes are not really taking place.
Now, we have heard reports that several leading ministers of theirs have split off from the main church. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, in the past several years, there have been several pastors who have broken away and formed their own groups. Two of them probably are a serious threat to the Worldwide Church of God as far as being able to siphon off its members. A very recent one was formed at the beginning of this year by one of the evangelists of the church who has been in the church since the early 1950s, and he is a very serious threat to the church as far as taking away members. So they're very much concerned about it, but they when they embarked upon this the doctrinal changes that they've been bringing into the church over the past few years, they knew that they were going to suffer membership losses, and I'm sure they took that well into account when they embarked upon their new program. So we applaud, we do applaud the changes that are taking place, and we do not want to see the members leave the Worldwide Church of God and enter one of these splinter groups. We would rather have them investigate for themselves. They can contact us or other ministries and get information and evaluate the situation before they make a move. And, of course, we would like to see them come out and join a good Bible-based, loving fellowship.
Well, then, getting to the bottom line, Philip, if the church is, in fact, accepting these changes, such as the doctrine of the triune nature of God, are there still other problems that would keep them separate from Orthodox Christianity?
There are two sides to the coin. When we look at a group and see that this group has problems, a group that we would classify a cult, quote-unquote, there are two sides to the coin. One side is doctrine, and the other side is practice. And you have to look at both sides of the coin, or you have to look at both aspects of the group to determine whether or not it is truly having a significant change. It is true that the Worldwide Church of God is changing doctrinally, but what concerns us greatly is that it is not changing as far as its practices, as far as its attitude and its treatment of its membership. And this is, we believe, a serious, serious problem. We have gotten well over 100 letters and phone calls from members and ex-members setting forth just heartrending stories of abuse from this church and from its ministers. And so we will continue to make this a point that we will bring up before the leadership of the Worldwide Church of God, that as God's, if they truly are shepherds over God's people, then they are not to be overlords. They are to be servants. So we're not just looking at doctrinal changes. We're looking at changes of practice, of attitude and treatment of the membership.
Philip, although there are still quite a few clouds of uncertainty, we certainly thank you for helping us to get a bit clearer picture of what's been happening in the Worldwide Church of God.
Well, thank you for letting me be with you today.
We have been visiting with Philip Arn of Watchman Fellowship, and I trust you found what he had to say encouraging about the potential changes in the Worldwide Church of God. While men generally believe that people can't change, the gospel tells us that God can change anyone and anything. Man always tries to mold others from the outside in by force and by law. But God's plan, the only successful plan, is to change man from the inside out by giving him a new heart. And the scriptures say that man is unable to please God by his religious obedience. It is only by accepting the righteousness of the life of Jesus Christ and the atonement provided through his shed blood on the cross that we and our efforts can be made acceptable in God's sight. God is the change maker. And we should pray that he will indeed bring all of those in the worldwide Church of God, and every cult for that matter, into the light of the truth, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of the true Church of God.
And we can all say amen to that. As was said throughout the program, these are monumental happenings. And if you would like a printed summary or audio copy of this interview, write for the action sheet or cassette on the Worldwide Church of God. Please include a donation of $5 or more if you're asking for the tape. And remember that everything we do is only made possible through faithful giving from people like you. Our address is Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302. And our toll-free number for those who donate using MasterCard or Visa is 1-800-245-8884. Again, ask for the action sheet and cassette on the Worldwide Church of God. Also remember the pamphlets I mentioned at the break and the book, What the Cults Believe. When you give $15 or more, we will send you all three items, including this updated fifth edition of a work which has been used and appreciated for almost three decades. Along with the traditional heavyweights, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, the book explains the beliefs and errors of a host of other groups, including the Unification Church, with its followers known as the Moonies, the Way International, the New Age Movement, Scientology, Christian Science, the so-called Unity School of Christianity, and many more. Ask for your copy of What the Cults Believe, plus The Spirit of Truth and The Spirit of Error, numbers 1 and 2, when you write to Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302, or when you call 1-800-245-8884. Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302, and 1-800-245-8884. Thank you for your support and your continued prayers. Tomorrow, Dr. Kennedy answers a basic yet critical question: what is a Christian? Until then, God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Is the kingdom of the cults about to lose a member? We'll survey the latest dramatic changes inside the Worldwide Church of God next on Truths That Transform. This is Truths That Transform, the daily radio ministry of Coral Ridge Ministries and Dr. D. James Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy's ministry is dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping Christians to apply the teachings of Scripture to every area of life. Stay tuned for insights on Christian discipleship in the 1990s and beyond. When is a pseudo-Christian cult no longer a cult? That is a question which cult researchers are having to scrutinize very closely today in relation to the Worldwide Church of God, publishers of the Plain Truth magazine, and producers of the television broadcast The World Tomorrow. Since the death of founder Herbert W. Armstrong in the mid-1980s, the group has been going through a series of radical changes, but none has been more monumental than those being discussed in the past few months.
Reports from sources both inside and outside of the organization are hinting that the Worldwide Church of God is poised to officially accept an orthodox doctrine of the triune nature of God. This change, if accepted, would be one more huge step out from the world of the cults and into orthodox Christianity. Joining us to talk about these recent changes and possible changes is Philip Arne of the counter-cult ministry Watchman Fellowship. Philip, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Although many of our listeners may be familiar with their magazine, The Plain Truth, or their television program, The World Tomorrow, they may not know much about the church itself. So perhaps you could give us just a brief sketch of the history of the Worldwide Church of God.
The Worldwide Church of God was founded under the name of Radio Church of God in 1934 by Herbert W. Armstrong. In 1947, Mr. Armstrong moved the operation from Oregon to California. He established a Bible training college called Ambassador College in Pasadena. In 1968, he then changed the name to Worldwide Church of God. By the 60s and early 70s, the membership had grown from an original, I believe, 16 members to somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 members. And today, the membership is about just under 100,000. It's 99,000.
What are some of the unique characteristics that have been a part of the Worldwide Church of God and which have historically made it something other than another Christian denomination?
The doctrinal differences that have separated the Worldwide Church of God from Orthodox biblical Christianity, one, the nature of God. They taught that for years and years, and up until just very recently, that there was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but the Father and Son were personal, and they don't like to use that term, but we'll use it for the moment, personal beings, whereas the Holy Spirit was an impersonal force. Basically the same doctrine held by other groups such as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Also, they held that salvation was by grace, but there were conditions. That the conditions were that you were to keep the law, you had to keep the Sabbath and the other laws, and basically anything that Herbert Armstrong declared to be law or part of the legal system, you were required to keep that in order to keep your salvation. Because under their teaching of salvation, you were only a spiritual embryo up until the time of the resurrection. So you could be aborted, as Herbert put it, at any time during your Christian walk if you transgressed the law.
Historically, the church has strongly claimed that there was a large, satanically inspired counterfeit church, and that the Worldwide Church of God was the only true church. Have there been any changes of late on that claim?
That's a subject that's still not clear. Let me read, if I might, a statement by the former public affairs officer, assistant public affairs officer, Mr. Mike Snyder, in a letter he sent to Watchman Fellowship dated March 9, 1992, concerning this concept of the one true church. Mr. Snyder stated that the church's position is that it is not the exclusive body of knowledge. The church does not teach that God can work only with those of the membership of the Worldwide Church of God. Yet in a sermon given by the Pastor General, Mr. Tkach Sr., April 3rd of this year, 1993, Mr. Tkach stated, "Now I hear the rumor going around that I don't believe this is the only true Church of God. You are my witnesses. I believe with all of my heart that this is the only one and true Church of God." So we have a conflict of what the church is telling us and what it's telling its own members. Throughout its history, Herbert W. Armstrong taught that Jesus Christ had restored the truths of the Bible that had been lost for almost 2,000 years through him and through the Worldwide Church of God. That they were God's true and only church upon the face of the earth, that if you were outside of that organization in another church, then you were in basically one of the Babylonian churches, a false church.
Well, as you've just pointed out, and it's good to go over this before we get into some of the alleged changes that are happening at this time, there has been a lot of confusion surrounding supposed changes in the group's doctrines in the past. How do you sift through statements like those you've just repeated, such as Michael Snyder's saying to you, "No, we don't claim to be the only true church," And then the pastor general saying to his own people, we are the true church. What is the thinking of Watchman Fellowship and other groups as to the reality of the changes being reported at this time?
We have done extensive research, extensive interviews, talked to a lot of members and former members, and we are convinced that there are true and genuine changes that have taken place in the church, in the doctrines. In our opinion, the leadership is caught between a rock and a hard place. Many of their top ministers are attending Bible schools outside of the church and are being exposed to Orthodox theology. They are bringing these doctrines, these new doctrinal understandings, back into the church and actually changing church doctrine, the doctrine of who God is, the doctrine of born again. These have all been changed to conform more with Orthodox Christian thinking. So there are real changes taking place, and we applaud that. And we have personally conveyed to the leadership at headquarters that that we applaud them for their research and their understanding. But at the same time, to make such a drastic change, they are concerned that they're going to lose a lot of members, because these are 180 degrees opposite of what they have always taught. So they are actually telling the members that they are not making any changes whatsoever, but they're just explaining the old doctrines in a different way. So we're watching the situation, trying to get as much information as we can so that we can accurately report what the changes are that are genuine changes.
Now, when we talk about changes, undoubtedly, the most monumental change that may be coming, or which has come, it's hard to determine which at this point, is the one that your ministry published in a recent issue of its magazine, saying that the church was just about ready to alter its teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit and therefore accept an Orthodox view of the Trinity. Perhaps you can give us a little background on that story.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, the church had always taught that there was the Father and the Son and then an impersonal force called the Holy Spirit, and that at the resurrection that believers would actually join the God family and become God themselves. Now, most members did not actually believe that they would become God as God is God, but in the writings it was perceived by organizations such as ours and others through the years that this was what the church was teaching. The new scholarship that's coming into the church, into the leadership, is moving towards and really is indistinguishable from the Trinitarian view of God. In the recent what they call Pastor General Reports, which comes from headquarters to the field ministry, there are three teachings that have gone out to the field ministers. The first teaching told the field ministers that their original perception of God was incorrect, especially dealing with the God family. The second teaching centered upon the actual nature of God, and in that they stated that God is one, and yet there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And talking about the Holy Spirit, they said that the Holy Spirit is divine. The Holy Spirit is divinity. And when you say that, you paint yourself into a corner. There is no way that saying that the Holy Spirit is deity without saying at the same time that the Holy Spirit is everything that the Father is and everything that the Son is. So they have accepted the Trinity doctrine, even though for the sake of their membership, they will not actually use the term Trinity. So it's a major doctrinal shift.
Well, what is your assessment of this? If they're going to stay away from using the term Trinity, that's going to leave a division between them and Orthodox Christians.
I think, at least for our organization, we understand the position that the church is in. We really don't have a problem if they don't use the term Trinity as long as they teach the Trinity. They have a problem with their membership perceiving that they have accepted a doctrine that historically they had taught was pagan. The membership had been taught for 59 years that the Trinity was a pagan doctrine, and now all of a sudden the church is teaching that. So they're having to use a different language with the membership than they are with the Orthodox Christian community. And we can understand their position. Like the church leadership, we do not, at Watchman Fellowship, want to see the members leave the Worldwide Church of God and go into a more abusive organization.
All right, Philip, we're going to take a short break right here, and when we continue, I'd like for you to tell us about how these apparent changes are being received by the other leaders in their church. We'll be right back. Philip Arne of the counter-cult ministry Watchman Fellowship is our guest, and he is bringing us up to date on some remarkable potential changes in what has been known as a cult, the Worldwide Church of God. Philip, just before the break, you explained the organization's apparent move to accept an Orthodox view of the Trinity. Do you have any indications how this change and other recent changes are being received by pastors and members out in the field?
Yes, we have word through more than one source that there is actually a revolt among field ministers of the Worldwide Church of God, that a certain percentage of them have refused to receive and refused to teach the doctrines that have been coming forth in the past, say, since 88 or 89. Of course, this presents a problem if the ministers, if a portion of the ministers aren't teaching the new doctrines to their members, then there's a tremendous amount of confusion among a large number of the membership of the church. They're hearing, they're seeing in their church newspaper, comes out every 2 weeks, that the pastor general is teaching new doctrines. But at the same time, their ministers are telling them there are no changes. And even leadership out of headquarters is saying, no, there are no changes. We're just explaining it differently. So there's a tremendous amount of confusion, and we're getting this confusion in letters and phone calls from members from all over the country and from around the world, Australia and other parts of the world. So it's a time of very much confusion among the membership.
It is widely known among those who have investigated the Worldwide Church of God that historically they have had a way of telling counter-cult ministries one thing and telling their members just the opposite. But you actually believe at this time that there is a difference between that historical trend and what's really happening today.
Yes, I believe that they really are genuinely changing their doctrinal position. In the beginning, we did not believe that, because what we were receiving from members in the church, let's say as of 1988 and 1989, was that they had not heard of any doctrines. What we were publishing in our monthly news magazine about the changes that we're being told about by Mr. Snyder and others at headquarters, they weren't hearing in their own churches, and they were writing us for clarification, where they wanted to know specifically what we had been told by headquarters. But over the past several years, we've been able to affirm that the doctrinal changes are getting out to the people in the pews, but at the same time, the leadership and the ministers are telling the people these are not real doctrinal changes. We're just explaining them in a more biblically sound, scholarly manner. So you have real changes that are taking place in the field, but at the same time you have a lot of confusion on our part and on the part of the membership because of some of the statements coming out of the leadership of the church that these changes are not really taking place.
Now, we have heard reports that several leading ministers of theirs have split off from the main church. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, in the past several years, there have been several pastors who have broken away and formed their own groups. Two of them probably are a serious threat to the Worldwide Church of God as far as being able to siphon off its members. A very recent one was formed at the beginning of this year by one of the evangelists of the church who has been in the church since the early 1950s. And he is a very serious threat to the church as far as taking away members. So they're very much concerned about it. But they, when they embarked upon this, the doctrinal changes that they've been bringing into the church over the past few years, they knew that they were going to suffer membership losses, and I'm sure they took that well into account when they embarked upon their new program. So we applaud. We do applaud the changes that are taking place, and we do not want to see the members leave the Worldwide Church of God and enter one of these splinter groups. We would rather have them investigate for themselves. They can contact us or other ministries and get information and evaluate the situation before they make a move. And, of course, we would like to see them come out and join a good Bible-based, loving fellowship.
Well, then, getting to the bottom line, Philip, if the church is, in fact, accepting these changes, such as the doctrine of the triune nature of God, are there still other problems that would keep them separate from Orthodox Christianity?
There are two sides to the coin. When we look at a group and see that this group has problems, a group that we would classify a cult, quote-unquote, there are two sides to the coin. One side is doctrine, and the other side is practice. And you have to look at both sides of the coin. Or you have to look at both aspects of the group to determine whether or not it is truly having a significant change. It is true that the Worldwide Church of God is changing doctrinally, but what concerns us greatly is that it is not changing as far as its practices, as far as its attitude and its treatment of its membership. And this is, we believe, a serious, serious problem. We have gotten well over 100 letters and phone calls from members and ex-members setting forth just heart-rending stories of abuse from this church and from its ministers. And so we will continue to make this a point that we will bring up before the leadership of the Worldwide Church of God, that as God's, if they truly are shepherds over God's people, then they are not to be overlords. They are to be servants. So we're not just looking at doctrinal changes. We're looking at changes of practice, of attitude and treatment of the membership.
Philip, although there are still quite a few clouds of uncertainty, we certainly thank you for helping us to get a bit clearer picture of what's been happening in the Worldwide Church of God.
Well, thank you for letting me be with you today.
We have been visiting with Philip Arne of Watchman Fellowship, and I trust you found what he had to say encouraging about the potential changes in the Worldwide Church of God. While men generally believe that people can't change, the gospel tells us that God can change anyone and anything. Man always tries to mold others from the outside in by force and by law, but God's plan, the only successful plan, is to change man from the inside out by giving him a new heart. And the scriptures say that man is unable to please God by his religious obedience. It is only by accepting the righteousness of the life of Jesus Christ and the atonement provided through his shed blood on the cross that we and our efforts can be made acceptable in God's sight. God is the change maker, and we should pray that he will indeed bring all of those in the Worldwide Church of God, and every cult for that matter, into the light of the truth, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of the true Church of God.
And we can all say amen to that. As was said throughout the program, these are monumental happenings. And if you would like a printed summary or audio copy of this interview, write for the action sheet or cassette on the Worldwide Church of God. Please include a donation of $5 or more if you're asking for the tape. And remember that everything we do is only made possible through faithful giving from people like you. Our address is Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302. And our toll-free number for those who donate using MasterCard or Visa is 1-800-245-8884. Again, ask for the action sheet and cassette on the Worldwide Church of God. Also remember the pamphlets I mentioned at the break and the book, What the Cults Believe.
when you give $15 or more. We will send you all three items, including this updated fifth edition of a work which has been used and appreciated for almost three decades. Along with the traditional heavyweights, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, the book explains the beliefs and errors of a host of other groups, including the Unification Church, with its followers known as the Moonies, the Way International, the New Age Movement, Scientology, Christian Science, the so-called Unity School of Christianity, and many more. Ask for your copy of What the Cults Believe, plus The Spirit of Truth and The Spirit of Error, numbers 1 and 2, when you write to Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302, or when you call 1-800-245-8884. Truths That Transform, Box 33, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33302, and 1-800-245-8884. Thank you for your support and your continued prayers. Tomorrow, Dr. Kennedy answers a basic yet critical question: what is a Christian? Until then, God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day.